At this time, you will hear another in a series of broadcasts brought to you under the sponsorship of the New York State Committee of the Communist Party. This evening, you are to hear Mr. Peter V. Cascione, communist candidate for City Council, County of Kings. Mr. Cascione will be introduced by Carl Vedro. Mr. Vedro.
Friends, the speaker I have the honor to introduce to you this evening is the chairman of the Kings County Committee of the Communist Party. Born 39 years ago in Syracuse, New York, he began his working life at the age of 17 in the railroad yards of Pennsylvania. As the son of simple, honest, hardworking, but poor parents, as a worker, he has since his birth known the hardships and the problems facing the great majority of the people who work for a living. He knows what it means to have to pay high prices for food, rent, and clothing out of small and insufficient wages. He knows and has fought for the right to organize for better living and working conditions. As one who has tasted the bitterness of unemployment, he understands the great need for increased relief or extension of WPA and work relief projects. As a World War veteran, he has led two bonus marches to Washington and tracked 500 miles in the December snow, freezing with the hungry and unemployed in that historic march to Washington in 1932. He has participated in and been identified with every movement to help the poor obtain the things they must needed for a better and fuller life. Friends, I know of no one who, on his record of day-to-day participation in their struggles, is better able to understand and serve the needs of the people in the city council than the communist candidate from Brooklyn, the man it is my privilege to introduce to you this evening, Mr. Peter V. Cascione.
Friends, anyone living outside of New York City reading the speeches of Mr. Mahoney would think that a lawless element was running wild in our city. Mr. Mahoney speaks of ending demoralization in the police force and restoring law and order. His platform also includes a pledge to fight communism and what he terms other un-Americanisms and to protect industry against alleged communistic agitation. A few years ago, another well-known fascist took power on a similar program. He was none other than Adolf Hitler. But after he came into power, socialists, democrats, trade unionists, liberals, and progressives, doctors of philosophy and law, great scientists, educators, famous writers, Catholics, Protestants, everyone who did not agree with the debased doctrine of fascism and Nazism and adhered to the principles of liberty, progress, and democracy, found themselves side by side with a communist in the concentration camp. Mr. Mahoney's tactics are by now somewhat stale. It is the old trick of attempting to keep the people from seeing the real issues by raising the Red Scare. Mr. Mahoney speaks suspiciously, like that notorious open shopper, Tom Girdler, Republic Steel Company, who paid $100,000 to the Democratic machine of Chicago in order to smash the steel strike in that city. Mr. Mahoney would have the police of this city repeat in New York the Chicago massacre of workers last Memorial Day, a Memorial Day the labor movement of this country will indeed remember. The people of New York do not want another Memorial Day massacre. Mr. Mahoney's open shop program is admirably carried out in the borough of Brooklyn, where the Kelly Democratic machine, the offices of District Attorney Gagin, Sheriff McGinnis, and the union-smashing Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce work together like a perfectly coordinated football team, with the people of Brooklyn as the football. The judges are mostly Tammany Hall appointees, and in the decisions have been against labor. Within the last few months, no less than 3 anti-labor injunctions have been issued. The injunction issued by Chief Justice Conway against the strikers of the Jewish hospital, the injunction issued by Judge Fawcett against the shipyard strikers, and the injunction issued by Chief Justice McCooey against Local 2 Waiters Union of the American Federation of Labor in the strike in Joe's Restaurant on Nevin Street. Mr. Mahoney states that a number of industries have been driven out of New York City by public disorder. This is not true. The shops and industries that ran away from New York did so to avoid paying their employees a decent living wage. In running away from New York, these industries sought to escape the right recognized by our government for labor to bargain collectively to form trade unions to protect them from the miserable sweatshop conditions and low wages now existing in many small towns and villages where the labor movement is weak and the open shoppers pay wages of $5 to $10 a week. This shameful low standard of living is what Mr. Mahoney calls Americanism. That is a kind of Americanism he would like to bring back to New York City. Mr. Mahoney thinks he can fool labor with his fake so-called trade union party. But labor knows that Mr. Mahoney is after the open shoppers, and labor will give him their answer on November 2nd. I want to take this opportunity to pay my respects to the high morale of the members of the Newspaper Guild, now on strike against the publishers of the Brooklyn Daily Eagle. This important historic strike deserves the support of every progressive-thinking person in Brooklyn. I also want to congratulate the employees of the BMT, members of the Transport Workers Union, on their victory in obtaining wage increases. There has been a concerted effort on the part of big business to place the blame for the high cost of living on labor unions and wage increases, when, as a matter of fact, what labor has gained in wages has long been wiped out by the high living costs, while big business has reaped enormous profits within the last 2 years. Let us examine the increase in the price of milk. The employees of Borden's and Sheffield's have received wage increases of $2.50 to $3 a week. A milk driver delivers on the average of 400 quarts of milk or 2,800 quarts a week. The 1 cent per quart increase in milk means that Borden's and Sheffield's will receive approximately $28 more from each driver. Deduct the wage increase and ask yourselves, what happens to the remaining $25? It does not go to the farmer. It will be added to the already huge profits of the Borden and Sheffield milk companies. In 1935, Borden's alone made over $4 million in profit, and in 1936, this profit rose to $7 million. Only a few weeks ago, both Borden's and Sheffield's again raised the price of milk 1 cent per quart. This means added millions for the milk companies, added suffering for the people, particularly for the undernourished children of the poor. When I am elected to the city council, I will fight to see that New York City has its own milk shed, which will enable the consumer to buy more milk at lower prices. In the last 4 years, food prices in New York City have gone up 42%, rents 38%. In his city council, I shall fight to curb meat, milk, and rent profiteers and demand that they be forced to reduce their prices. I shall fight for municipally owned and operated power plants. In Jamestown, New York, where they have a city-owned plant, the rates are less than half of what you and I pay for electricity in New York City. The unemployed and those on relief are the greatest sufferers from the high cost of living. Although there have been great increases in food prices, allotments for relief are the same today as they were 3 and 4 years ago. Mr. Davis, president of United States Chamber of Commerce, has stated that 50% of our unemployed can never hope to find employment in private industry. This means that we must extend and not decrease WPA and work relief jobs. In the city council, I shall fight to see that this is done. To meet the increased cost of living, we must increase relief at least 40%. I promise when I am in the city council to see that this is done. It can be done. How? By taxing the rich. I shall fight for the repeal of the sales tax and for increased taxes on big incomes, inheritances, on stock transfers, on excess profits. I shall demand that the state allocate to the city of New York a larger portion of its revenue to enable the city administration adequately to provide for its people. In the city council, I shall demand that the 65,000 condemned slum dwellings in New York City be completely wiped out and decent livable homes at low rentals be built for New York slum house population. I shall demand more parks and playgrounds that will safeguard the lives and health of our people and reduce the rate of crime in our city. New York, the richest city in the world, should initiate social and maternity insurance to save the lives of thousands of babies that die every year in the slum districts of New York. It is hardly surprising that in the Red Hook area of Brooklyn, 80 out of every 1,000 babies that are born never live to be 1 year old. The infant mortality rate is even more appalling among the slum-housed Negro population. There is an acute shortage of hospital beds in New York City. I shall fight to have at least 3,000 beds added to take care of the city sick. In the city council, I shall urge rent regulation to stop rent increases and evictions, and will see to it that the multiple dwelling law is enforced. I shall fight to protect the small homeowners by calling for an extension of the present mortgage moratorium to stop foreclosures. We communists know full well that the final solution to all the problems facing the American people can only be solved when the workers, farmers, middle class own the factories, mines, railroads, and the rich resources of our country and run them not for the profit of a small group, but to satisfy the needs of the great majority of the people. This is socialism. Under this system of production, the achievements of the Soviet Union in less than 20 years have astounded the world. We communists are convinced that the people of America will eventually see the necessity for socialism. But socialism is not the immediate problem. The immediate problem today is to defeat the reactionary forces in this election, Tammany and the Democratic Party, who would smash the trade unions, cut relief, and destroy our democratic rights. To ensure the defeat of reaction, labor and all who believe in progress and democracy must unite their forces and rally to the support of the progressive candidates, the candidates of the American Labor Party. In running a candidate for the city council in each borough, the Communist Party is not in opposition to the American Labor Party. Under the system of proportional representation, if the candidate to whom you give your number one vote does not win, your vote is then credited to your number two candidate. On this basis, we call upon the New York voters to cast their first choice votes for the communist candidates for city council in each borough, namely in Manhattan, Israel Amter; in the Bronx, Isidore Began; in Queens, Paul Crosby; and in Brooklyn, for me, Peter V. Cascione. After you have done that, vote a straight American Labor Party ticket. In Brooklyn, vote number 2, number 3, and number 4 for the candidates of the American Labor Party. We also ask you to give serious consideration to the candidacy of Mr. Benjamin Butler in Brooklyn, the only Negro candidate for city council. He is well thought of and respected by the people of his community. Place these candidates in the city council so that the voice of labor and progress may be heard in our city. Defeat reaction. Defeat Tammany Hall and the Democratic Party. Vote labor and communist on November 2nd.
You have just heard Peter V. Cascione, communist candidate for the city council from Brooklyn, tell the radio audience that Brooklyn needs a communist councilman to fight against the high cost of living, repeal the sales tax, and fight for lower rents and decent housing conditions for the people of Brooklyn. Mr. Cascione will speak to you again over the same station, WJZ, at 7 o'clock to 7:15 p.m. on Friday, October the 29th, at which time he will discuss in detail what he will do for the people of Brooklyn if elected to the city council. For news on the real issues in this election campaign and a clear understanding of what forces are behind Mahoney and the Democratic Party, read the Sunday and Daily Worker published in New York City by the Communist Party. Copies of the speech you have just heard by Mr. Peter V. Cascione, Brooklyn's communist candidate for city council, as well as information concerning the Communist Party, can be obtained by writing to the Kings County Committee of the Communist Party, located at 98 4th Avenue, Brooklyn. I repeat, copies of the speech you have just heard by Mr. Peter V. Cascione, Brooklyn's communist candidate for the city council, as well as information concerning the Communist Party, can be obtained by writing to 98 4th Avenue, Brooklyn, headquarters of the Kings County Committee of the Communist Party. Thank you.
The program you have just heard came to you under the sponsorship of the New York State Committee of the Communist Party.